Welcome to the Ivy Podcast. We're just two aunties sharing our experience through the lens of one Blackfoot woman and one Anishinaabe woman. And we are Indigenous Vision, an educational nonprofit based in Montana and Arizona. We are 100% Indigenous led, and this is our podcast. Check us out at indigenousvision.org to learn more about our work, make a donation, or play back any of our radio shows and this episode.
Hello and welcome to the Indigenous Vision Podcast. You are officially listening to episode 71. My name is Melissa. I want to thank you so much for joining us. As always, I've got Suta calling last, who, by the way, if you didn't know, happens to be the executive director of Indigenous Vision. I know that you have a scratchy throat, so let's make this quick. I myself am recovering. I don't know what's going on right now. Is it like a seasonal change thing or
I
what?
I don't know. It's like a nobody wears masks and all of our immune systems took a break for like a couple of years.
Totally.
And now we're back at it. And everybody is like, oh yeah, colds.
I was traveling around and I'm convinced every time I go to the airport, I am just attacked by viruses. And I wasn't wearing a mask and I thought I could do this. My body can handle this. And it obviously could not, but I'm feeling better today. And I hope you're feeling better like soon.
I'm not feeling really crummy yet. So, but I do notice that little itch. So I think it's like that perfect time. I'm going to like drink a gallon of water, take all of my vitamins that I take. There's some like herb mixtures. I really like cold snap. I don't know if anyone's heard of that, but I used it when I was a massage therapist. And then I like do a bunch of lymph node drainage type things, empty my trash cans, my body trash cans. I don't know. It depends on if you get it fast enough. And if you do all of those things and then maybe it'll go away. But there's that little voice thing. It's creeping up on me. I don't feel the pain yet though. And I got it from my son. He got it from probably someone at school.
Wow. That's so crummy. Well, I wanted to just jump on and say thank you to everyone who showed us love on Indigenous Peoples Day. It was like, it was so great to be seen. It was so great to be appreciated and reached out to by random strangers on the internet, all because of this one post I made about how someone who has no idea about how to celebrate Indigenous Peoples Day on what they could possibly do. It was amazing.
It was super amazing. I really love, there's like lots of small and some larger PayPal donations that trickled in over the couple of days before and after. Shout out to Mariah Askew. She's so awesome. She's a playwright over on the East Coast, New York area, who I met at a justice conference years ago, 2 or 3 years ago, I think, yeah. And she has just been awesome ever since. She's written plays. We've developed a friendship over the years that just, it's very cool. She does a fundraiser either during Christmas time, November, and then during this most recent one was on IPD. And yeah, we're about to hit that $300 goal for that one, I believe. I haven't checked on it because I was sick. So yeah. And then I attended a powwow and a bridge dedication and renaming, which is really cool because there's a bridge here in Missoula that used to be called the Higgins Street Bridge. And it was for the longest time called that, named after a guy, one of the families here that helped settle the area. But it was also a bridge that the Salish, the local native people were long walked across. And so by force. So it was really cool to, like, if you see the pictures, there's a big group of people walking across the bridge again, but this time it's in honoring the renaming, dedication of it going from Higgins to Bear Tracks, Grizzly Bear Tracks Bridge, which is one of the significant chiefs of this area, which is pretty cool, I think. So just that turnaround of events and historical events. And I hope that none of the history is lost. Like, you know, when we tear down these Confederate statues or these historical statues of racist people who committed mass murder, I don't think we should just automatically landfill them. I think we need to put them in a museum somewhere, like a racist museum, and be like, this was their contribution. And, you know, you have to be careful of going with the trendy thought, common thought, right? Because I think throughout our history, we see so many times that the common thought was like general racism was acceptable.
And it is another extension of history, the fact that a lot of these monuments were taken down. I know where I was born in Winnipeg, the Queen statue is still down and it's still painted red with handprints all over the place. And I think that they're actually going to put it in a museum just to show that history in this day and age, this is what happened. And I think it's really good to document that as well, because again, we can't just sweep it under the rug and be like, yeah, these are all racist, let's just get rid of them. No, let's just keep it and remind us of what happened and continues to happen each and every year as we move forward and like out of these brutal scripts and patterns. I think it's beautiful to celebrate.
Super beautiful. And you know, it's good to reflect on whether we're racist or not, and we're causing harm with our, you know, just following the crowd thoughts and mentalities, because yeah, it's just insanity what's acceptable on a mass scale. I think about it a lot with my, I sit here, like I'm sitting on my couch for this podcast and I'm looking at like what rich people would call a gallery wall. And it's just my living room wall with all of my family in pictures on it. I have my mom's side and my dad's side, and both of them have such different stories. But on my mom's side, which is the Blackfeet side, there's a memoir from Joseph Papel, who is the white guy of my family. And he was mentally wrestling with taking General Baker to my grandpa uncle's camp, Mountain Chief. And in that, he wrote that he wanted to avoid his brother-in-law's camp and led him instead to, with Kip, another scout, to Heavy Runner's Band, where a massacre happened. And very, very few, only a couple of young children under the age of 3, I think, got out. I start thinking about Indigenous Peoples Day and the things that have happened. And I don't know if I can wrap this back around to what I was originally thinking, because I have started cough medicine. I'm a little loopy today. I do have enough congestion where I'm like, I need to get a little bit of housework done today, because today is kind of my only day to get everything back in order. And so I took some Mucinex. I may not be okay to operate my vehicle. Me. Yeah. So for IPD, we went down to Karis Park and had a powwow, and it was just really awesome to look at the pictures now that are online and see people walking to honor that renaming, and then to think about the pain that people must have felt in these long walks out of places, and just how acceptable it is to treat people on a mass scale like that. You know, like, you know, we all know it's wrong. That's what I was getting to. We all know it's wrong. Like, I'm pretty sure my grandpa, the French fur trapper, knew what he was doing was very wrong. But in those intense situations, you know, I don't know, go out warrior style.
Right.
I think I would have sacrificed the self to save, you know, if I was put in the position of having to lead a drunken colonel, General Baker massacre to, that's his last name for me now. General Baker. I can't remember his Graham, might be Graham Baker. I can't remember his first name. But his name to me is Baker's Massacre, pretty much, like with the site and his deed and how he contributed to all of these. And I'm pretty sure, you know, if no one spoke up, there would be a statue to him somewhere.
Right.
Because we like to commemorate our history and our ancestors. It's just like how the Knights of Columbus chose Columbus, because they were trying to fight prejudice that they were experiencing as the Italian community. And they, yeah, I need to find that paper where they say they regret that they chose the figure they did, if they had known that he had stood for that level of oppression against another people, something along that line.
Yeah. Some of the things I've heard about Christopher Columbus, I fully didn't grasp until I was much older. His diary, some of the things that he wrote about and was proud about, I was like, what? This literally happened.
Yes. And it's what we allow as acceptable for our peers, right? Like, nobody's going to do anything if, like, you see racism in the parking lot and everybody was like, that's not cool, man. That person will go home and be like, wow, six people in the parking lot told me that wasn't cool. I guess I'll keep it to myself, you know, keep my hate to myself, which is where it should be.
It does provoke a bit of self-reflection when you do speak up to someone. At least I hope when I kind of nudge in that direction, like, hey, that wasn't very cool. Like the situation mm-hmm. that happened in Valley of Fire with the big Mexican family. And then the one white guy getting mad at them for quote unquote being in the way when he was trying to take pictures and getting all snippy with them. And I had to pipe up and say, hey, that's not cool. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Did he go home and self-reflect off after that situation? I know the family was definitely affected by what happened, as small of an incident as it was. You could tell that they were all just like, ugh, racism again, you know?
It hurts. Yeah. My heart goes out to all the Mexican people living in the United States along the border there. Because even I was at a yard sale in Sedona, and I was, you know, I've been considering going into law school, and I toy with the idea, but I don't know if I have the time or the energy for that. I really like my organization and what we do. It's really awesome. It's not like work. It's like passion stuff. But yeah, I was at a yard sale in Sedona, and this woman, I was looking through this set of this really beautiful, like encyclopedia looking set of law books. And I was thumbing through them, seeing if it was something that would be useful to me. Cause if it is, I'll read it. Right. And she said something, she's like, hey, you must be. And then I thought I heard her say, get legal. And I'm like, what? And then she must have thought that I didn't understand her, because then she like nudged her friend with her elbow and said, she must be looking for a way to get legal or stay legal, get legal. And I was like, I'm Indigenous. Where are you from? And yeah.
Exactly.
I had my niece with me, and she was 15, and she was like, oh, did she just say what she thought I'd
said? No, she didn't.
Did she just say that? And I'm like, oh my goodness, she just said that. And I'm like, I didn't know, you know, I want to, in these situations, it makes you angry, but you still, as a human being in your overall journey, I think you want to like maintain your grace somehow, you know?
Yeah.
Is that the one incident where you just like effed up stuff in some woman's driveway,
start overturning tables and making a scene, and then like you become that crazy brown person that the cops come and get? You know, I've been living here for almost 8 years in America, and I've obviously experienced way less racism than living with Canada. That is a fact of life. The only time that I experienced like legit in my face was in Phoenix. I was working as a clerk at a store, and a houseless guy or a street person came in and was demanding some stuff, just free stuff. And I was like, you can't have that. You gotta pay for this. And he looked at me and he was like, go back to Puerto Rico. And I thought, oh, okay. And then I was like, I'm actually a Native American. I put it in quotes. And he was like, no, you're not. You're from Puerto Rico. And then he like stormed out. He didn't believe that there were still Native Americans, is what he was trying to tell me. That it was impossible for me to be standing in front of him working the job that I was doing and existing. Mm-hmm. And it was the first time I got it like in my face here in America. And I thought, holy smokes, racism knows no bounds at all. Like pretty much, I don't want to say, but there's so many privileged white people out there, regardless of where they're living or staying, or, you know, like this was a street person who came in and like was spewing racism. And I've seen it before with other quote unquote tweakers walking into stores. And I'll never forget this white couple who were obviously on a lot of drugs, and they were calling this East Indian guy all these brutal names one day in a store. And again, he was just trying to make them pay for stuff. And they were just like really acting out in the most disgustingly racist way. Even though they lived on the street, like there's just no bounds, right? Like there's just no, like they felt so superior regardless that they lived on the street as homeless people, that they could still walk into a store and like call this person down.
Wow. That's maybe their only power at that moment.
Their entitlement and privilege just as being white people. But on IPD, I spent a lot of time just reflecting on how amazing my life has become. I did a lot of that, which is something I haven't done in past years. I usually think about other things, but this year was different for some reason. It was really like about the celebration of my actual life and how far I've come. And I've really got the perspective, like my ancestors literally prayed for me to be a great person. And I am a great person. And it felt really, really good to look around at my surroundings and be like, holy ish, I have everything I literally dreamed of that I, you know, was one little thought, one little wish years ago. And I have it now. And it was pretty amazing to live it. And I gave so much gratitude. I went to visit the land. I went for a full moon hike. Like I really took it in differently this year. So it was really great to see the online support, but just feel the gratitude and the actual love from my ancestors, which is crazy for me.
I've also, yeah, I feel like I grew up a little bit more this year as well too, because I told my son something along the same lines, like he should really be really proud to wear his braids and have such beautiful hair and have a power that beautiful that, and I run my hand along his braid and I think about how it's connected to this, like an exterior nervous system, right? And how it could, if it is an exterior nervous system, then it's going to help him read the room and read the surroundings a little bit better, read people's vibes better, right? It's his little extra. But it's, yeah, I told him that he was what all the grandmothers and with all the people on my wall, like all of them prayed for our future, the kids, we pray for our kids and our family and all the little ones that are yet to come type thing. And they prayed for me and they prayed for him. And it's just really cool to think about how we are living a much better life than some of the struggles and pains that they went through, going through the extermination era, living through the extermination era. I have one relative up there on the wall who, grandpa, he didn't make it through. He was hung. I always want to say he was shot, like, because you see all of those soldiers doing the shooting things, you know, the lineup, what do they call those? Squad.
Like an execution?
Yes, like an execution death squad with like four guys with guns, but he was actually hung March 16th, 808. 808 is now like a significant time for me. I don't know why it's so significant. I always want to make sure that I feel empowered and free at that time. Like if I'm feeling like really grubby and like tired or sick or ill, then I feel, I don't know. It's just, I feel like it's, I guess that's the essence of IPD, right? It's like, we're still here. We survived. And at 8:08 is my significant time in the mornings because I feel, especially if I wake up and I've been up for a few hours, I've got my stuff together. I'm on top of the day and I'm on top of these projects we're working on or like making way, you know, because it's very busy. Then I feel like that is my form of resistance because I don't like to use the word resistance because the terminology we use creates our reality. And why would I want to resist anything? like that's just hard. We were not born into this life, this beautiful world to be resistant. We were born to thrive and to learn a bunch of beautiful lessons so that we evolve mentally and spiritually. And yeah, so 8:08 in the morning is my annual IPD time, like Indigenous Peoples Day. I'm still here, especially when I get up and I have coffee and I sit here and I see the grandpa that didn't make it, but his kids did. We're here.
So beautiful. So beautiful. Yeah. I was thinking along those lines too. I, you know, like I had, my family has gone through so much BS because of the government of Canada, you know, mm-hmm. There's a lot of pain. And I'm never hungry. I've always got a full fridge of food. That's something that even my parents didn't get to experience as children, you know, like that's one generation that I snapped us back, you know? So I was just super grateful and to see everybody supporting us, complete strangers. That's probably what blew me away the most was how many people are getting on board with IPD. And for the first time, I didn't see anybody mention Christopher Columbus on my feeds anywhere.
Wow, that's for the amazing. First time.
Yeah, because every year someone posts it, but I just put out the post that I made on how to celebrate. I just plopped it on the internet for everybody,
which
to
got
see.
Over 1,000 shares.
Yeah,
oh my god,
insane. And still getting notifications. We got over 300 followers, by the way. Thank you all for following us. If this is your first time checking out our podcast, we truly appreciate you. We're just like this small organization that's legit run by, you know, 100% Indigenous people. And it's really great to have the love coming in from IPD 2022. I can't imagine what it's going to be like next year. You know, like it's still blowing me away. Mm-hmm. It's still blowing me away. And this is like a small step. Can you imagine leaps ahead?
I've been living in living on and off in Missoula over the last 20 years. And it was really cool to have a small powwow in Karis Park. I was so tired. It's like the end, or I've got a couple projects peaking and then a couple projects wrapping up and a couple things that I'm starting to like, things that have been on the back burner that I'm really trying to get to. But you know, with all that reflecting, I came back to how different it was again too, with myself, in that I have a big, big to-do list and I can't let myself like be roped into any more obligations because I've got some pretty awesome ones. But I also felt a level of just patience with myself. I know when I get to these on my to-do list that I'm steadily plucking away at it. And when I get to it, I'll take my time and fist my best energy and it'll be a good thing. And everything happens when it's supposed to. And yeah, I like grew a little patience, I suppose, with myself.
That's so important. I know the societal pressure to get things done and be on your hustle like 24/7 if you want to like make it, you know, be a self-made successful mm-hmm. person, quote unquote. There's such a strong hustle. I've also learned to tone that down just a little bit.
I'm still hustling. I'm seeing the necessity to book out now instead of my former fast turnaround time and immediate involvement. I'm not able to do that anymore. And I'm still passionate about wanting to be involved and doing it. So I'm just going to book out. And that means October is completely done. November is pretty much booked up and I'm already booked in into January. So,
wow.
So it's like massage therapy. And I think that's also a really big celebration that needs to happen as well, is because when I had my massage business, there was a point in time where I stopped having to hustle so hard because the clients just rebooked and booked out for like a year. They just planned to be with me forever. And so I think that's what I'm going to have to do now is, so it's like at that transition point where I was like hustling to get those clients. And now I'm really happy with the workload and the people and all of the things I'm working on right now. And so I'm going to let those all close up and fall away to see if I get to nothing. And then maybe I'll be that old lady, that old Indian, maybe the young old, if anyone can help me get there while I'm young. I want to be the old woman in a cabin in the mountains with all my wildlife baby orphans. I want a skunk really bad.
I want some raccoons.
Raccoon.
They're so cute. And they seem to get along with cats.
Yeah, I really like birds, some magpies and maybe some ravens. And I don't know if the magpies will let the ravens will let the magpies. They better get, everybody has to get along, you know?
Right.
That's the house rules. So you can get dinner if you get along. And animals are smart. They learn to get along. They totally do.
I'm still going to pursue my life of adventure and being the explorer of my family and just keep going forward. I'm so excited for my future, which is awesome. And you're booked and blessed. Like that's so much to celebrate. We're doing really good. Congrats, yeah. Suta.
Thank you. Congratulations, Melissa.
Thank you so much for listening to the Indigenous Vision Podcast. You can find out more about us on our official website, including how to contact us, make a donation, or play back any of our music radio shows or this podcast. Don't forget to share with your friends and write a review if you've got time. We totally appreciate you sharing your time with us.